ho, 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 ho. Welcome to the Jem and Ben Christmas Podcast. Festive greetings, Benjamin.
Festive greetings, Trevor. You are overhoeing the Christmas pudding.
Well, it's Christmas. It's the only time you can overhoe the Christmas pudding, isn't it?
Yes, and Merry Christmas to you too.
Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas, dear listener. I hope we find you in fine festive fettle.
Do you think listeners have gathered round the wireless, you know, like the King's Speech at 3 p.m. They've all turned everything off and we must listen to the Trev and Ben Christmas Podcast.
I think that's highly unlikely. I mean, I don't think we're that appointment to listen.
Really?
That, you know, we're not the modern day Morecambe and Wise Christmas special, are we?
Not yet. We'll get there one day.
I think after, what is it, 209 episodes, I think the chances of us getting there very slim by now. But you never know. They had to push through the barriers, didn't they? They had some ups and downs along the way. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether we're being listened to on Christmas Day, Boxing Day. You may be listening to this in the middle of 2024, in which case, hasn't it all turned to shit?
You know, it's just occurring to me that there'll be some people perhaps listening to this who are thinking, who's Morecambe and Wise?
Oh, come on.
There will be. When were they on TV?
Who are these morons who don't know Morecambe and Wise? Morecambe and Wise are on... No, they're on every Christmas. All the repeats are on every Christmas. I mean, this is the problem with the youth, quite frankly. I think if someone's not heard of Morecambe and Wise, they cannot be trusted. That is what I've... Yeah, what do you mean? What were you about to say then, mate?
Obviously heard of Morecambe and Wise, but I'm about a decade younger than you, and I don't even watch terrestrial TV at all anymore.
Oh, this does my head in. This does. You've got to watch the classics. Watch all the Christmas classics.
I'm just saying, I'm not down with the kids. God knows I'm not down with the kids, but even I don't watch terrestrial TV anymore, so there could be an audience out there who might have, I don't know, stumbled across this somehow and be listening to it, and thinking, who the fuck am I walking on my face?
If you are part of the youth, right, and you're sitting on YouTube and somehow perhaps your family have got this on in the background and you're a moody teenager, you're sitting in the corner, turn this shit off. Turn this off. It's not Christmas here at all. Listen to them. Just two old men moaning, right? While you're sitting there watching your YouTube, while you're watching all your social media influences. Hi, I'm Gabrielle, and I like to use this kind of lip gloss. Doesn't it make me look great? I'm going to talk like this for the next 45 minutes until I look wonderful and I earn a fortune for this bullshit. So you're watching that, right? So while you're watching that, just put into YouTube search Morecambe and Wise, the stripper. Put that in, right? What a sketch. What a sketch that is. Can't get better than that.
I know you were being deliberately flippant, but do you know what you've described actually does exist and have its own category?
I know it's called... all of this bollocks exists.
I know. It's called GRWM. It means get ready with me. Get ready with me. And it's basically just influencers talking about their thoughts, usually fairly vacuous thoughts, as they apply their makeup for the day. So you literally spend time getting ready with me whilst I just talk. And it's, I mean, we talk bollocks, but there is a limit. If only I'd known I could just spout bollocks on the internet and actually try and cash in. That's my mistake. We've never tried to cash in.
No. Well, who's paying for this? Come on.
Well, someone was stupid to pay for us once. That happened. Didn't last long.
No. Right. Right. It's Christmas, Ben. Come on. We need to get out of this. We need to get out of the doldrums. What have we done here? That's your fault, right?
It was you mentioning Morecambe and Wise. It wasn't my fault.
No, it's because you brought up that people may not have heard of Morecambe and Wise. I started off so festive, didn't I? I was ho-ho-hoing like there was no tomorrow. I was throwing it all out there. And then suddenly you throw out that some people may not have heard of Morecambe and Wise, and that sent me into a spiral of despair. And that's not what Christmas... I think this is what you do, Ben. I think you bring darkness to the festive season. We talked about this last week.
Yes, I have been. But then I think you revealed a few home truths from last week's podcast. You were quite the doomster as well. So I don't know which one of us is worse.
Anyway, happy Christmas, people.
Happy Christmas, mate.
Let's get festive. Let's get festive, because let's open some presents.
Yeah, and for any, you know, if this is the first podcast you're hearing, this isn't like a little funny bit. We do love each other dearly, really, and we have actually got each other little presents, haven't we?
Yeah. Who wants to go first? Should I open one of yours first?
Go ahead. Please do.
I have three little packages in front of me. Is there any particular package you would like me to open first?
Well, I would say one of these is probably a more legitimate present than the other two.
Right.
So I think open whichever one you wish.
Right, well, the one's a bit bulkier and two are sort of... I'm going to open one of the flatter ones. I'll open that okay. one first. I'll open this one first. I mean, the one thing we don't do is because we don't see each other in person, we can't wrap it in nice wrapping paper. But, you know, the sentiment's there, isn't it? Although it's just an Amazon bit of cardboard.
This is even more special, really, because technically I've got a billionaire to wrap your present for you. Jeff Bezos has sealed this with his own two hands.
I wouldn't have thought, what I'd imagine if some very underpaid and overworked individual in a warehouse somewhere has been working their fingers to the bone at Christmas. But maybe Jeff Bezos did this one. Who knows? Maybe.
Jeff, if you're listening, I'm sure you have a fine company with terrific working conditions, and I admire your very deep pockets and your fantastic legal team.
So, I'm just smelling the envelope, Ben. Just giving it a just to see if there's any essence of rocket fuel on there. No, I'm not getting that. Isn't it interesting how Amazon packaging always smell of vomit?
I hadn't noticed.
No, they do, though. If you ever get any... I'm just sniffing this. It smells like vomit, right? If you get a box and you open a box, it's got all that brown paper in, first waft you get is one of vomit. I don't know what that is. That's the Amazon's... That's the one thing I'd say about Amazon, right? In many ways, they're a bit of a modern miracle. I know perhaps it's not great for your local high street, but the one thing they could sort out is make your packaging a little bit more nasal friendly.
This is the longest time it's ever taken anyone to open anything.
Maybe at Christmas, like, make them smell of mince pies or something. Like a festive smell when you open up your Amazon packet. That's all I'm saying, Ben. It's just, I think Jeff Bezos would be very happy to hear some feedback. They're always asking for feedback, even before you've got the package. They send you something going, tell me what you think of this package. I haven't got it yet. I haven't opened it yet.
Come on, Driv. Bank vaults have been opened quicker than this.
Right, hang on. Oh, isn't it exciting? Right. Okay, right, so book, crap I'll forget unless I write it down.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this, Ben. Okay.
So it's basically a blank notebook.
Right.
So I thought, because we're constantly running out of ideas, scrambling for content for this lovely podcast, so I thought, if ever in the future you have an idea... jot it down, and then when we come to talk about all our ideas, you'll have this lovely thing full of notes.
All right, I'm just going to make my first note.
Lovely, and I thought it was very appropriately named, the book.
Yeah. Point one, contact Jeff Bezos. Recommend fine-smelling packaging for Amazon. Okay, that's the first little note I've made in there. That could be the route to my fortune, couldn't it, Ben?
Well, maybe after this podcast comes out, maybe that'll be the first call you get.
You know they're talking about drone deliveries.
Yeah, people will inevitably destroy or steal the drones.
But wouldn't it be great if, as the drones flew, they emitted a lovely smell? So that everywhere smelt lovely. Go out and it's like I'm in a pine forest. I'm in Thornton Heath, but it's like a pine forest out here.
Quite an expensive little adaptation to their drones, I imagine. But he's got the money.
He's got the money. Why not, mate? It's an idea. I'm making a note of it. Smelly drones.
This book's paying for itself.
Do you want to open one of yours?
I will. I'm sat here looking at my own lovely, charming brown envelope.
Just smell it. You'll get the nice smell of vomit.
There we go. I do appreciate the pull tab system on some of their packages. I'm not getting vomit. I don't know what's happened to your delivery guy. Is he all right?
I don't think you're used to the smell of vomit.
Right, what have I got here? It looks like a sort of pack of card size things.
Right, yeah.
And it's called Shot in the Dark, the ultimate unorthodox Christmas quiz. Bizarre Christmas questions, educated guesswork, fun for all the family.
Well, we've got to give it a go.
Absolutely we do. So I guess I'm going to have to try and... Oh, God, now fingernails would be helpful here because they've wrapped it in that plastic like they do sometimes that the bomb squad would have a hard time getting into.
This is great listening.
Isn't it? Me struggling to open a small packet.
Have you not got to that age? Because I'm at that age now where I'll always have a pair of scissors handy for opening things now, because I find I can't open things anymore. I'll tell you the one thing that's great about the sort of demise of the DVD is getting that bit of fucking plastic off. I mean, that was a battle, wasn't it? Oh, Christ, every time you get a DVD, it had a little tab on it, but that was useless. Drives me insane, that.
I think the premise of this, which is probably why it's called Shot in the Dark, is that you basically have no chance of getting the question correct.
Okay.
It's who's the nearest, essentially. So let's have a go at the first. We'll do the first card.
Okay.
There'll be five questions. I haven't read them all at all. So we've got an equal chance each, and I think we should declare the winner.
Yeah, let's do it.
At what time does the average British adult have their first alcoholic drink? On Christmas Day.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, what about... What time do you have your first alcoholic drink on Christmas Day?
Well, it's a very misleading question. I don't want to give anything away yet. I think... Because if I give an answer, you might piggyback on my brilliant thinking.
Right, see, because I think a lot of people would start early. I think a lot of people at breakfast will have a bit of Buck's Fizz or something. So I'm not... We're not really a family of drinkers. There was a time when I was a bit younger, in my 20s, where I would drink a fair amount on Christmas Day, but the drinking wouldn't start until Christmas dinner, which would be sort of mid-afternoon. But I know a lot of people who will start the day with a Buck's Fizz or a champagne or something on Christmas morning. I mean, it's way too early for me. So I think 10:30. I reckon 10:30, most average British adults have started on the lash on Christmas Day.
Okay, I think that's a respectable guess. I would go ever so slightly earlier than that. I'd say 9:30 a.m. with a Buck's Fizz. However, you know what I'm like. I'm a little bit semantic, and I would say that technically, most people would be up very late on Christmas Eve enjoying a few bevvies. The clock might tick over to midnight and they might still be on the sauce. So technically speaking, it would be like 1 minute, 1 second past midnight. The very first second Christmas Day is available, you would technically have your first drink of Christmas Day.
I suppose that's true, but I mean, is the average Brit drinking on Christmas Eve?
We're a nation of pissheads, of course we are.
I suppose, it's just not... I've had a few Christmas Eves out, but it was never a big thing for me. But yeah, I suppose you're right, technically. But I've got to stick with my answer. I'm saying 10:30 a.m.
Bless, been tucked up at sort of 9 p.m. on Christmas Eve every night in case Santa doesn't come?
He won't come if you're awake. You've got to make sure you're asleep, otherwise he won't come and fill your stocking.
I'm going to play sensible here. I recognise that I'm an annoying little prick, so it probably won't be one second past midnight. I'm going to stick with 9:30 a.m.
Okay.
The answer, Trev?
Yeah.
It's very specific. And congratulations, you go 1-0 up. It's 11:48 a.m.
11, that's late, I should think, for a lot of people, but there we go. 11:48.
Yes, I mean, I will say I will have a Buck's Fizz, but then there'll be this frustrating gap between then and then when the real drinking starts. But yeah, it's sort of tradition. You've got to do it.
I don't really drink. I'll have a glass of wine at Christmas dinner, probably only one, maybe two. That's it now. I don't drink otherwise on Christmas Day. It doesn't interest me anymore. Or that sort of... No need to get pissed on Christmas Day, is there?
There's no need to get pissed any time, is it? It's about dedication's all you need, Trev. Right, now, question number two. And I'm
this
afraid
way you've never seen Morecambe and Wise. You're passed out by the time that comes on the telly. You're so fucked. People are going, Ben, Morecambe and Wise is on. You're going, fuck off. Fuck off. I'm fine, Father Christmas.
I'm afraid that your second question slightly dates your lovely present, I'm afraid.
Okay.
How much would it cost to buy 100 grams of gold, frankincense and myrrh on Christmas Day 2022?
It's only a year out.
It's not bad.
Say, again, it was like 1947 or something. what is it? How much to buy gold, frankincense and myrrh?
100 grams of gold, frankincense and myrrh on Christmas Day 2022. Right. I have no idea what myrrh is.
Or frankincense. Let's
or
be
frankincense, to be honest. I couldn't tell you how much.
Isn't frankincense isn't that like an incense? A thing you wave about? You can burn frankincense like a nice...
Well, I mean, the word incense is in frankincense, isn't it? So
could be, couldn't it? And myrrh, Why do we not know what gold, frankincense, and myrrh is? Come on.
Because it's biblical stuff, isn't it? It's old-timey stuff. 100 grams of gold, that's going to set you back a bit, isn't it?
I thought so. I don't know what the going rate for gold would be. Let's say 100 grams of gold. I mean, that's going to be, I reckon, $3,500 for that on its own. I'm just looking up what frankincense is. It's a resin. It's a traditional kind of medicine. helps against things like acne. Did Jesus have acne early on?
Probably not as a newborn. No, not in the stable.
Well, maybe that was all for his teenage years. Just, it's there. It's ready for you, mate, when you need it. So it's an oil, and myrrh is another sort of oil. I mean, they must have been expecting Jesus to have... I mean, I suppose you could say in the end he did have a torrid life, but myrrh was for treating wounds, mouth ulcers, aches, fractures, stomach disorder. They were expecting to be a very sickly, spotty child, weren't they? Let's be honest. That's why they bought the gold. It's like you're going to have all these ailments, but at least the gold will keep you happy. So I suspect it's all quite... I'm going to say for all of that, 100 grams... Is it 100 grams of each thing? So we're talking...
That's what it seems to imply, yes, 300 grams.
Right, I'm going to say for all of that, I'll throw out there $8,500.
That's a bit steep, isn't it?
Well, I just think it's probably all expensive. I think I probably went a bit light on my initial gold estimate.
Now, what was that game show? Was it The Price is Right, where the contestants might occasionally dick over the other one? So you've said $8,500, so I might come in and say $8,499.
Yeah, people did do that on, I don't know which game show it was, but yeah, those people are fucking idiots.
I won't be that mean.
People have not seen Walking My Wise, probably.
I'll go a little bit cheaper than that, because that does seem a little steep. I'll say $6,000.
$6,000, okay.
And the answer we have... £4,817.
Wow.
You can buy 100 grams of frankincense and myrrh on Amazon for less than £20 each. So this is mainly due to the price of gold. No shit.
I bet that would make the packages smell nicer. Some, just sprinkle that in each package. All right, one all.
Lovely. What percentage of people consider Die Hard to be a Christmas film?
Well, I think a lot of people do, because, I mean, it's not... specifically a Christmas film, is it? I mean,
well, let's do a straw poll, shall we? Trev, is Die Hard a Christmas film?
I don't think the first, well, it's all set at a Christmas party, isn't it?
God, such a politician's answer. Would you just answer yes or no?
Well, it's a Christmas classic. It's always a Christmas classic. I think it is. It can be classified as a Christmas film,
right? It can be. It doesn't help. I would say yes, it is.
I think most people would. I think people do see it as a Christmas film. So I think as a percentage of the British population, I'm going to say 79% would call that a Christmas film. Because you're always going to have those going, damn, it's not a Christmas film. Not a Christmas film. Father Christmas isn't it? It's not a Christmas film.
I would go a lot lower than that, because I think there'd be a lot of... people who just are so opposed to the violence of Die Hard that they will say, no, it can't possibly be a Christmas film. So I'm going to say it's like 40% of people, right. And I think that's being generous. Your 79% is ridiculous. And the answer, only 25%.
25%?
The screenwriter, Stephen E. D'Souza, claims it is a Christmas film. However, Bruce Willis doesn't agree.
Wow.
With all respect to the legend that is Bruce Willis, I think if the screenwriter, the man who wrote the words you're reading, if he says it's a Christmas film and it's his bit of work, then yeah, sorry Bruce, it is a Christmas film because the writer says so.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. Have you ever seen Die Hard?
Of course I've seen Die Hard.
Good. I just thought that's the sort of thing I'm wrong. No, I mean, I'm of an age where we didn't watch that. We didn't watch Morgan Wise. We didn't watch Die Hard. I'm too busy watching old Miliana putting on her eyelashes.
Right, there's two more to go. Shall we rattle through these?
Go on.
By January 2023, or... last year.
Yeah.
What is the world record for the most Christmas lights on a residential house?
Oh.
I mean, I haven't got a clue.
Well, some people really go for it. When you think, you know, I mean, Some of those lights are very small, aren't they?
I'm not even going to attempt to overthink this. I'm just going to pluck a number out of the sky and I'm going to go with 100,000.
100,000. I think it's going to be much more than that.
Really?
I'm going to go, yeah, I think some people go mental, don't they? Absolutely mental. I just think little lights these days, little LED lights. I'm going to say 312,000.
312,000?
312,000. Oh, you wouldn't want to be living next door to that, would you? Jesus
Christ.
No,
you would not. Jesus wept. 703,000 lights.
Told you. Told
you. A record.
Massive.
A record held by an American family, of course it's an American family, who start their display in September each year as it takes them months to get it ready.
But of course it would. That's a full-time job. Imagine the electric bill, though, for that. That's the thing I always think about when you see a house with all these lights and you think, how can you afford to run all these lights for... Especially if they're starting in September. I suppose they don't turn them on until December. But let's say they're on for 4 weeks. Man, that's sucking the electricity out of your house, isn't it? But I suppose people go, well, that's a bit of a bar humbug attitude, Trev. You know, it's Christmas. Goodwill to all men. Shine a light into the world. Why not?
So suck that up puts the bill. Us at two all by my count. So the right. Fifth and final question is all important.
It's a Christmas decider, ladies and gentlemen.
If the average Brit wanted to walk off the calories consumed on Christmas Day,
yeah,
how long would they need to walk for?
Oh.
Now, I watch, you know, I was talking earlier on about my youthful dalliances, and I'm not entirely down with the kids, but I don't watch terrestrial TV. I watch a lot of food eating things on YouTube, lots of challenge eating food contests, things like
right.
that.
Yeah.
And I also walk a vast amount of steps for a living, so I know a bit about walking and I know a bit about food.
Well, that doesn't necessarily going to help you with this, is it?
No.
I'm not quite sure how you're at an advantage just because you watch a bit more of Jamie Oliver than I do. Does Jamie Oliver tell you how many calories you take? Because it's not just the Christmas dinner, is it? It's all the sundries. So I think you're going to... was it distance you've got to walk or time you've got to walk?
That's the thing. It doesn't specify whether it wants hours, miles, kilometres or step count.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm going to go with probably miles.
Okay.
And we might have to convert. And it's a real tiebreaker, this one.
Well, that's assuming that you know how to convert. I mean, you've got to know the sort of average walking speed of a human. There's going to be some maths involved here. I don't know whether we're up to this.
Well, the guess is obviously that you eat a lot more than you normally would on Christmas yeah. Day. So it's going to be huge. Do you want me to have a go first, or are you going to piggyback off my excellent expertise?
Well, I'm just trying to work it out. So I think the average human walks, what is it, about 4 miles an hour, isn't it? So let's say you've probably got to walk, I reckon it's going to be like 12 miles. It might be more than that. I think 16 miles. I'm going to say 16 miles. So 4 hours of walking is what I'm giving you there. I'm giving you both options, time and distance.
Okay. I would say bollocks to your stupid guess. That's so way too low. Way too low. I reckon
low.
You would... way too low. To walk off the Christmas Day dinner, the Christmas drinking, the Christmas chocolates, everything, I reckon you're looking at needing to do around 80,000 steps to get anywhere near burning that off. What would that be? I'd say double what you've said, minimum. Whoa. So I would say you'd need to walk 24 miles.
Well, right, hang on. Didn't I say 16 miles? That's not double.
32 miles.
Already. I mean, if there's some conversion to be done, you're not really proving yourself to be the man to see us through that predictor conundrum. So
we're going in miles. You're saying 16. I'm 16 saying 32.
Miles. Right.
Right. Are you ready for the answer?
Go on.
They would need to walk for 21.5 hours to burn off 5,905 calories consumed on Christmas Day by the average Brit. Now,
what I said, what did I say? How many hours?
21 and a half 21 hours.
21 and a half hours.
So,
bloody hell,
I don't know, I can't remember what you said in hours, but I think I'm clearly the winner here.
Yeah, because I think I only said 4 hours. So.
Yes.
Wow, so I mean, if you're talking about 4 miles an hour, that's about 80 miles, isn't it?
I mean, are you having just a salad for your Christmas Day? Is that all you're having?
This is our Christmas spectacular. you know, Ben, we decided we should do something a little special, didn't we?
Yes, and what better?
What better?
The thing that nobody asked for.
to relive some past glories. So those of you who are regular listeners to the podcast may have loved or hated, I don't know, our murder mystery that we performed earlier this year over a number of parts. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be good to have a festive edition and bring back all our favourite characters?
I've been really excited about this. And I was tasked with the job of having to convince our good friend, friend of the show, Graham Peter Turner. Or ChatGPT, as other people refer to him.
Merry Christmas, Graham, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Graham. Although
that's fine. Yeah, great. Yeah, Merry Christmas, guys.
To throttle old GPT by the other night.
Look, you know, I can only work with the material that I'm given. I think I do a great job. Can I just
basically, the problem I ran into was the same as the first time, which is we like to do what we call the cold read here, which is we haven't seen this before.
No.
So we read this blind right now for the first time, so it's fresh to everyone and it's more fun that way. However, if you don't keep an eye on Graham, he can churn out some right old shit, as it turns out. And fortunately, thanks to the grace and the very patient Mrs. Ben, she was able to read through the first script and dismiss it as unusable crap once again. So we very much owe Mrs. Ben a big Christmas thank you. She has helped us out. And we now have what I understand...
Thank you very much, Mrs. Ben.
...is a workable script. It might not be great, she said, but it does kind of work as a story. So here's...
What an endorsement. It may not be great, but it sort of does what you asked it.
Exactly.
I mean, that's high praise. That's the sort of bar we've set, isn't it? So, you've sent me the script. I haven't seen it yet. Now, before we get to it, should we remind people of the main characters in the piece?
I think yes, but let's do it briefly for everyone's sake. So, we've got Detective Inspector Ben Harmer, which is me, and I'm very flattered by the role that Graham Peter Turner gave me. I'm
yes.
thrilled. I'm a sort of wily detective trying to crack the case. You don't really do much. You're a bit of a mysterious traveller.
Yes.
That's all the information we know, and nothing really ever came of that information. We have Vix McAllister, who is an influencer.
Yes, she's one of those.
She's doing a Get Ready With Me video every day. And we've got... Jean-Pierre Leclerc, one of my favourites, the snooty French artist who is always comparing real life to his paintings.
He's a great artist.
Yes, he is. We have Arnold Whitman, our very boring and bookish accountant. We have Headmistress Worthington, who is a disapproving in general sort of retired headmistress who is very judgmental. And have I forgotten anybody?
Reverend Thorne.
Oh, who could forget the legend of Reverend Thorne, our saucy vicar who always comes in with some very inappropriate double entendre.
Yes. Now, I just want to say, first up, I'm not happy with the title.
I love the title.
Well, I tell you why I'm not happy about the title.
I know what you're going to say.
She used the word homicide.
Yeah, you're going to say it's too Americanized with the word homicide, aren't you?
Too Americanized, and it's not giving me an opportunity to go, Yuletide murder.
So Yuletide homicide does rhyme, at least, doesn't it?
Yuletide homicide. Yeah, but it sounds sort of whimsical. It's another Yuletide homicide. Doesn't it?
What's the title, please, Trev?
Yuletide homicide at Wimsley Manor. But I will say there is a tagline for the piece, so I'll read it to you all in full. So this is the title. It's Yuletide homicide at Wimsley Manor. Mistletoe, merriment, and murder. 'Tis the season for a twisted Yuletide tale.
Wimsley Manor, bathed in the warm glow of twinkling lights, stands as a beacon of merriment. As the clock ticks towards midnight, joyous echoes fill the air, disguising the darker notes awaiting their entrance. Detective Ben Harmer raises a glass. To the magic of the season and the enchantment that awaits.
Oh, magnifique! Such festive beauty! It deserves to be captured on canvas.
Speaking of beauty, this party is an aesthetic goldmine. The clock chimes, marking the arrival of an unexpected guest.
Why is the clock chiming marking the arrival of it? Surely the doorbell would do that. Rather, I think the place is badly wired and someone's pressing the doorbell and the clock's chiming.
Hang on just for a second there, mate, because the next line is my job as narrator. The manor's doors swing open. The doorbell tolls like a harbinger of mystery.
Oh.
Now we have a problem here, mate. We have a new character, a never heard before new voice under the character of guest.
Guest.
Would you like to play guest?
Do you want me to do guest?
Please
I'll
do.
Try guest with a I'm saying this with a mysterious smile, by the way.
Are we going for any sort of voice? Because you sound a lot like Trevor Smith.
I'm not doing the voice yet.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
I'm setting up the setting up the character. What's going on here? See, I don't, because it's Christmas, I'm going to do it in a sort of Father Christmassy voice.
Okay.
Oh, the festivities. Little do they know.
The festivities. This is Reverend Thorne, by the
way. Thank you. Thank you. Taking liberties again with the lip smacking. Carry on.
Festivities indeed. If only our good headmistress could loosen up a bit.
Reverend, this is not the time for jests. We are here to celebrate with dignity.
In the heart of the manor, concealed by the laughter and the clinking of glasses, a plot unfurls like an ancient tapestry. The very ornaments that adorn the Christmas tree hide secrets darker than the winter night.
Did you know that this Arnold Whitman, by the way?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you know that the history of Christmas ornaments dates back to the 16th century?
Fascinating. Now, who's up for some real excitement? Poor old Arnold Whitman, dismissed again, immediately.
Every time, poor old Arnold. Mind you, I think he was the murderer in the original story, wasn't he?
He was, but don't let that colour your opinion. He might not be the killer this time round.
No, he may not be, but I'm just saying he's more colourful than his voice suggests.
The midnight hour strikes, and in the midst of radiant cheer, the festive spell is shattered by a blood-curdling scream. Sudden silence grips the manor as all eyes turn to the source of the distress. What in blazes? Unseen, the perpetrator slips away, leaving behind a bewildered gathering and a trail of unanswered questions. The once vibrant celebration now breathes an air of uncertainty. Suspicion lingers, and as the remaining guests exchange wary glances, the quest for the truth begins.
In all my years, I've never seen such darkness beneath the glow of holiday lights.
This party just took a turn for the macabre. My followers will eat this up. As the clock ticks, the atmosphere thickens with curiosity. We need to unravel this mystery. Someone here is not who they appear to be.
A murder?
It's sounding more and more like a Muppet.
A murder during the holidays? Statistically, the festive season doesn't deter crime.
Amidst the lingering tension, the manor's doorbell echoes through the hall once again. It's that faulty wiring, damn it. Heralding the arrival of an unexpected guest. The doorbell rings, capturing everyone's attention.
Hang on, is this... because this is just guest again. Is this the same guest as before, or is this another guest?
Why have they looped round the house and rang the doorbell again? Because it says guest, revealing their identity. So is it the same guest?
I think it must be.
Trev, can I do you a small favour?
Yeah.
Can I suggest you maybe just read two or three lines ahead, because it might help you with the voice?
Oh, there we go. I was doing the right voice anyway, wasn't I? Oh, there we go. Well, there we go.
I mean, that was some spot-on foreshadowing. Well done. Right, guest, revealing their identity.
It is I, the one who observed the shadows from the periphery.
And who might you be?
I am Nicholas Claus, a bearer of gifts and knowledge.
Nicholas Claus steps into the light, a legendary figure synonymous with the season, revealing the mystery guest from part one. Thanks for that. That's useful.
So hang on, is this a different guest?
I don't know. Although I don't think that should be a line from the script. The narrator turns to the audience and says, by the way, that's revealing the mystery guest from part one.
Yeah. Let's not worry about that. Right. Okay. Right, this is Nicholas Claus.
Ho, ho, ho. This clue will illuminate the path to truth. Beware. For deception wears a festive disguise.
Guests huddle around the note.
By the way, I should say I was handing a cryptic note over to someone.
Yes,
at that point.
That's a very important detail there.
I like to think my voice performance gave the impression of handing over a note.
This clue will... Yeah, I think so. I think it did the job. Guests huddle around the note, deciphering its contents. In shadows deep, where deceit may sleep, seek the ornament of the silent night.
Oh, a clue hidden in plain sight. We must find this ornament.
The manor becomes a stage for both revelation and riddles as the guests embark on a journey to decipher the enigma that surrounds them. Each piece of evidence brings us closer to the truth. No secret can withstand the scrutiny of a detective's gaze. And that is the end of our first part.
I'm a bit confused as to what's going on, if I'm honest.
As always, yeah.
Well, there's obviously been a murder. Has there been a murder? We don't know.
No,
if there's.
I don't think there has been.
Has there not been a murder?
Right. Was there really not a murder?
I don't think there's been a murder yet. There better be a bloody murder.
Well, this is terrible. I can't believe we're halfway through our murder mystery, and once again, are you sure we've not missed the murder?
Well, there was a scream, wasn't there? There was a blood-curdling scream.
That's right.
We all rushed towards the scene.
Rushing towards the scene, that happens. And then I said,
what in blazes has gone on?
Well, actually, I think you'll find it sounded a bit more like, what in blazes? The atmosphere thickens with tension, blah, 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 blah.
It's not explicit that there's been a murder, but I think we have to assume there's been a murder.
Okay. I mean, people go into this knowing it's a murder mystery, so maybe we should let them join the dots. There doesn't need to explicitly explain there's been a mystery, a murder, does it, surely? Fucking Graham Peter Turner's let us down again.
Well, we'll find out later in the podcast. Right, before we move on, Ben, shall we open another present?
Yeah, let's do it.
Right, now I'll open... I've got another sort of flat parcel from you, or a slightly more bulkier one. Which one should I go for?
I would say go for the slightly bulkier one.
Right, I'm going to... Oh, here we go. It's got some bubble wrap around it.
I should hope so.
Oh, this looks good. Oh, I like this. It's a bullshit buzzer. Don't think this is going to be worn out incredibly quickly.
You might need to replace the batteries, because basically you've been telling me that you've been quite frustrated recently over the last few weeks. And
I'm sick of all the bullshit.
Yeah, so I think when someone pisses you off, rather than getting in a tizz about it, you can just lean over and hit your bullshit button.
Bullshit detective, take precautions.
Oh, I like this, Ben. That's going to be... The thing is, can I use it on a work call?
Well, I figured you could double it up. So when someone pisses you off at work, you could just lean across your desk and hit it. Yeah. And that would sort of give you a bit of relief. And also, I thought when you get these cold calls that seem to annoy you, you could just play that down the phone to them.
Well, I think I would. I would definitely do that on the phone. I'd like to think I'd have the balls that... Because I have to deal with a lot of bullshit with work. Right, and I'd like to be able to just be in a meeting where someone's going on, I can just...
Bullshit in aisle two.
Oh, it's got more than one more than one bit of audio. That's exciting. How many has it got?
Bullshit.
Oh, I'd like that one. Oh, this is good, Ben. This is good.
That was bullshit.
I'd love to have had the gig
for the voice on that.
There may Imagine be one that. More, I think.
That is very good. That will get a lot of use, even just on my own. Just watching the news or question time, that would just give me a bit more of an outlet rather than just shouting, fuck off, that's bullshit, and press a button. Maybe that would help the blood pressure come down if I've got a button that actually eases the stress and does the anger for me.
It's a very thoughtful present. I'm trying to look after you.
Well, thanks, mate. I'd like that present a lot. Good. Now, I've got a confession about your next present, Ben, because I know it hasn't arrived.
Well, I was going to say, I've got nothing in front of me.
Well, can I just say thank you very much, Etsy? This wasn't an Amazon gift. See, this is the thing, right? People say you got to don't do everything on Amazon, but you do it somewhere else, they fucking let you down. I understand it's been dispatched today, even though I ordered this probably about a week and a half ago. So
I know a lot of things on Etsy are sort of homemade or crafted, at least, so they might take a bit more time than your average Bezos parcel.
Pull your fingers out, people. It's Christmas. Come on, that's what.
Bullshit in aisle two.
If you're promising Christmas gifts, crack on, people. You know,
this is to be some fair, old... at the time of recording, it isn't quite yet Christmas.
Well, even so, I ordered this a long time ago. It's very disappointing. But I'm going to send you a picture of what it is. Okay,
okay.
And you can look forward to this arriving, hopefully in the next couple of days.
Oh, that's a pair of socks.
It's a pair of socks, but you need to see what's written on the socks, Ben.
They're sort of lime green with a red heel to them.
Sort of Christmas colours.
And what the hell does that say?
Fuck the Tories. That's what it says.
Fuck the Tories.
Fuck the Tories. I've got some nice fuck the Tories socks. I thought as we go into an election year, it'll be good. The more people that wear fuck the Tories emblems, the better. So I know you do a lot of walking, but I doubt you flash your socks, but you might want to just flash your socks at customers as you walk around.
Well, I do wear shorts, so I could pull the socks up nice and high for you.
I mean, the Royal Mail might have issues with you wearing these socks at work, but I think you've got to go for it. We've got to spread the word. So anyway, they're a nice fuck the Tories socks, Ben.
Well, thank you very much. I will wear them with pride. I don't think I'll be necessarily appreciated me walking along wearing a political message, but you know what? Fuck it. I don't mind.
Now, Ben, we've already tried one quiz today. Do you fancy another quiz?
Yeah, because I think, for once, I'm on a winning streak.
You are on a winning streak.
This one
we may need to work together on this one a little bit, or we could play against each other.
Well, seeing as it's Christmas, and seeing as I'm already, you know, officially the winner, why don't we play as a team? There are no losers or winners, there's just... I don't know, a pair of losers.
Right, well, this is a Christmas movie quotes quiz.
Ah, okay.
So I've got 8 clips from Christmas movies, and all we have to do is name the movie.
I hope Die Hard's in there somewhere.
I don't know if Die Hard's in them, because I've not heard these, but there are 8 of them. Shall we get going?
Yeah, there's only one way to find out. Let's do it.
Here's number 1.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Well, that's...
I know it.
Well, that's Home Alone, right?
It's Home Alone, and it's from the... This is really nerdy of me. I even know that film that he watches, Kevin McAllister, when he puts that on to sort of spook off the burglars.
Yes.
Harry and Marv.
It's not a proper film, is it?
No, it's not at all. And it was made specifically for Home Alone. And I think it's called something like Angels and Demons or something like that.
Right. Well, I didn't know that what it was called. I knew it was a thing that they'd made especially for the film. But
yes,
that's one of the most famous lines from Home Alone, isn't it? Right, should we do number 2?
Yes.
Here I am. Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him.
Well, it sounds like Will Ferrell.
Yes, which makes it Elf.
Yeah, I've not seen the film, but that's got to be Elf, isn't it?
Now, I don't remember if I have seen it, because obviously, as we've established, my Christmas day is going a bit of a blur. but I do hear very good things. It's considered one of the great Christmas films, Elf.
Right, well, are we going with Elf? Are we sticking with Elf?
100%.
Okay, well, here's number 3.
Oh, she won't worry. I mean, I'm here, and... Oh, these cookies! I gotta get the recipe from Les.
Put that cookie down! Now!
Right, well, let's set again. You've got to go with the actor, because I don't know the quote. Do you know the quote?
Put that cookie down!
Yeah, of course I know the quote. It's Arnie.
It's Arnie. I get the voice. Is it a well-known quote there? Is that a well-known Christmas quote? I mean, it's in the quiz, so it must be, but I've never...
Well done. You've understood the concept. Well done, Trevor.
Well, it can't be that well known if I've not heard it. Surely those are the sort of things I'm aware of. I like to think I'm aware of well-known Christmas quotes. I've never heard it.
It must be from Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way.
By the way, how did you rate my Arnie impression? Was it any good?
Do it again.
Put that cookie down!
I think it was better first time round.
I've lost it.
It's not bad at all, is it?
Thank you.
Right, number four.
You coming?
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course!
Oh, now, well, that's, I've not seen it. It is Tom Hanks. I've not seen it. I think Mrs. Ben is a big fan. I do think I know the answer.
Well, I think there's a sound effect in there which gives it away. Now, we just have a listen between the dialogue.
You coming?
That little noise.
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course!
Sounds like a train noise to me.
So I think we know where we are.
The Polar Express, isn't it? It's got to be.
I would agree. I think we're right. Smashing this out of the park.
And it shows we're all about Christmas, isn't it? Right, number five.
Dear Santa Claus, how have you been? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife? I have been extra good this year, so I have a long list of presents that I want.
How is your wife? It's a bit personal. Mind your business.
Well,
tell me what you want and fuck off. How's your wife?
Maybe Santa likes a personalised letter. It shows you care more than just about the presents. It shows you care about the man inside the red suit.
I disagree, Mr. Santa. I think that's an intrusive line of questioning. The little brat needs to step in line and shut the fuck up.
Well, this is why you will never be part of the Santa's workshop, because anyone that works for me needs to be embracing of all sides of humanity, and that's asking about my private life. Not asking any intrusive questions, asking how Mrs. Claus is.
You're forgetting that I have worked for you as Santa. I have been your belligerent, unhappy elf, so yes, I'm already employed. I'm on the payroll.
Okay, do we know what that film is, though?
Is it going to be that one, Every Time an Angel... What's the thing?
It could be It's a Wonderful Life, because it sounds an older film, doesn't it? The audio quality. I think it's either... The two films that came to mind were White Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life.
See, I think I've heard that...
Jimmy Stewart's in It's a Wonderful Life. Or Mary...
You finished. So I think I recognise that little girl's voice as being the same annoying voice that drones on something about every time an angel something gets its wings or some shit like that. So whatever the film that is, I think it's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, no, that's definitely what's it? An angel gets his wings? What is it? What happens when an angel gets his wings?
Every time someone claps, or is that Tinkerbell? I can't remember.
I don't know if it's a...
Or every time someone claps.
I don't think it's... But I think we're going to go... I think it's a Wonderful Life. Let's put... It's a Wonderful...
Oh, Clarence.
It's a Wonderful Life. Okay.
Is that your Jimmy Stewart? Because it sounds a lot like your Santa after a brain injury.
Jimmy Stewart. Santa's more down there.
Okay, moving on.
Right, how many have we done? I've lost track of where we are.
I think that was our fifth.
Right, okay. Number six.
Usually the store Santa Claus whiskers are too loose.
Right.
Yours look realistic.
I tell you who that is.
Oh,
That sounds exactly like the little girl who played Matilda.
Yes, and she's also in Mrs. Doubtfire. That little girl, and the Christmas film she's in is Miracle of 34th Street, or Miracle on...
Nice work.
34th Street or 43rd Street, whatever it is. Miracle on some American shopping mall street.
Well, hang on. Do we need to get this correct? Because there'll be some sticklers out there who will say...
I think it's 34th Street, isn't it? Miracle on 34th Street. That was Dickie Attenborough, if it is. Dickie Attenborough probably playing Kris Kringle in that particular version. So, there we go. Miracle on 34th Street. I'm happy with that. Are you happy with that?
I'm very happy with that. I wouldn't have got there myself. I think I recognised... She's got a very distinctive voice. I would have recognised her immediately, but I'm glad you're here to help me out with that one.
Right, okay. Right, penultimate one, number seven.
I say, what's today?
Eh?
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? What, Christmas Day?
It's Christmas Day.
Well, it sounds like Jim Carrey.
How specific do we need to be? Because that's clearly a Christmas carol.
Yes.
Talking to Tiny Tim out the window when Scrooge has gone all nice.
Well, I don't think it's Tiny Tim, is it? It's just a passing lad, isn't it?
Oh, really? Oh, that's sad. So Tiny Tim just got the abuse and this lucky kid gets all the niceties.
Well, no, because the boy that he talks to out the window, that's just because he's like, you boy, what day is it? It's Christmas Day. Go to the shop and buy me the biggest turkey there is.
Go there yourself, you lazy fucker.
Or go to the shop and buy me a turkey. Because the famous one is Alistair Sim, isn't it? Alistair Sim being Scrooge and you boy out the window. And that's used for all kinds of memes. Oh, yeah, memes. Look at me. Right, so...
Down with the kids.
So, but that sounds like Jim Carrey. And I know he did an animated version, but I guess it's just a Christmas carol.
Well, Jim Carrey was the Grinch. How many Christmas films has Jim Carrey been in?
He definitely did a Christmas carol. I remember I've seen it.
I think let's just play safe and just say it's a Christmas carol.
A Christmas carol, yeah. Okay, final one, number 8.
How horrible our Christmas will be.
No.
How jolly.
Oh, how jolly our Christmas will be.
I've absolutely no idea of that one.
Shit, because neither do I. It sounds like an animated film.
Yeah, it does sound like an... Right, animated Christmas movies, go.
The Grinch?
The Grinch doesn't sound like The Grinch, does it? I think they'd have Jim Carrey in it again, and we've already had him as Scrooge.
Oh, what's that one with the weird skeleton character? Is that a Christmas film?
What, A Nightmare Before Christmas?
That's the one. Is that it?
Oh, it could be. Let's have a listen to it again.
How horrible our Christmas will be.
No.
How jolly.
Oh, how jolly our Christmas will be.
I mean, there's nothing in it that gives any clues. But I think...
Skeleton-y, bonesy vibes from the music, from the score. So I think it could be. And I've got nothing better.
Well, I can't think of anything other than that. So I think we're going to have to go with that. Right, A Nightmare Before Christmas. Right, okay. Let's have a look at the answers. Number one.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
And we put Home Alone. It was, of course, Home Alone.
Ding. One for one.
Number two was...
It a.m. Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him.
We said Elf. It is Elf. So that's 2 out of 2 so far.
Loving it.
Number three.
Oh, she won't worry. I mean, I'm here and... Oh, these cookies. I gotta get the recipe from Les.
Put that cookie down now.
We said Jingle All the Way. It is Jingle All the Way.
Get in.
Oh, I think we're doing well here, mate. Right, number four.
You coming?
Where?
Why, to the North Pole, of course!
Well, it could only be one, couldn't it? I mean, we said Polar Express, of course. It's Polar Express. Not going to be anything else.
We're on for a perfect score here.
Okay, the next one.
Dear Santa Claus, how have you been? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife? I have been extra good this year, so I have a long list of presents that I want.
We said It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I'm nervous about this one.
It's not. It's a Wonderful Life.
No!
I can't believe it. I mean, this is one. A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I beg your pardon?
A Charlie Brown Christmas. You know Charlie Brown?
From Snoopy?
And all that. Yeah.
Right. Not happy about that.
What do you mean you're not happy about it?
Well, I've never heard of it.
Well, that's the film it apparently comes from.
Fine. That's the sound of the rug being ripped from underneath us. I don't like that at all.
Right, well, the full house is gone. Here's the next one.
Usually the store's Santa Claus whiskers are too loose.
Right.
Yours look realistic.
Well, we said A Miracle on 34th Street. It is A Miracle on 34th Street. So we're back on track now, mate. We're back on track.
I don't care anymore.
Okay, next one.
It's ruined Christmas.
I say, what's today?
Eh?
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? What, Christmas Day?
It's Christmas Day.
A Christmas carol. Of course it was. And finally...
How horrible our Christmas will be.
No.
How jolly.
Oh, how jolly our Christmas will be.
We said A Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, I know you're quite pernickety.
Yeah.
The film's called The Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm having that.
You're having that. So 7 out of 8. Not bad, mate.
Not bad at all.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. I'm not happy.
And then before we get to the grand finale of the Christmas murder mystery, should we open our final presents?
I think so. Would you like to go first or shall I?
Okay, no, I'll open this. It feels like a book. Oh, now this looks fun. Can you get out of this book? 2.0 escape room. Oh, it's an escape room in a book.
Yeah, I figured if nothing else, it could provide content for the future, so why not?
The thing is, we don't want to give it away on the podcast. Like, the people who make the book would hate that, wouldn't they, if you actually did it on a podcast and solved the book sort of publicly.
Well, it depends. Is it just one challenge in the book, or are there multiple? Because they might not mind you sort of sampling one of them if it helps advertise the book.
It looks like it's one.
Oh, okay. Well, that's the end of that then.
It looks like it's one escape room, but in different sectors. So maybe that we could do a sector, you know, and then use that to plug the book on their behalf. Maybe they might pay us.
I doubt it.
Thank you, Ben. Now, that looks very good fun. I look forward to it. Even if it's not with you on the podcast, maybe, you know, you and I privately could get together and do it.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You could wear your Fuck the Tories socks. I could bring my notebook. And between us, we could escape the book.
Yeah, bring the bullshit button, because I think we'd need it. So shall I open up your last one?
Yes, open up. Oh, hang on. It goes on a bit, doesn't it? Yes, do open the last one from me.
Okay, here we go.
It's sort of up your street, this particular present, I think.
Very interested to see what this could be then. Oh, wow, that's dark. Well, thank you very much. I have been given the ultimate serial killer trivia book.
Happy Christmas. Would you like to just share as I open a page at random, give us some serial killer trivia?
What I might do is read you a bit of the blurb, which is...
Go on, yes.
Ever pondered the differences between psychopaths and sociopaths? Want to know exactly why cannibals eat human flesh? Want to read about the most bizarre serial killer motivations of all time? Could you identify a serial killer based on their physical appearance? What small New England town is hotbed of murderous activity? What famous influencer killed his own parents? Who's the youngest serial killer of all time? The oldest? What murderous teen poisoned her mother and documented it on social media? What a lovely book you bought me.
Well, I thought, you know, you like murders. You like serial killers. You're always going on about serial killers and murders.
Yes,
you like it.
No, that's fantastic. I very much look forward to reading that and learning all sorts of macabre trivia that might win me the most depressing quiz ever.
That's not really a Christmassy vibe, is it? But anyway.
Let's put the death book down for Christmas, shall we? But I will read that on my own time. Thank you very much.
Okay, Ben, the time we've all been waiting for, the bit people have fast-forwarded to, the culmination of our special episode of A Murder Mystery, Yuletide Homicide at Whimsley Manor.
The cast, now aware of the...
Can I just say the use of the word cast there from the narrator? It's a bit lame, that, isn't it? You know, it could have said, you know, the gathered throng, the guests at the party, but no, it's just gone, the cast.
I got 2 syllables into the beginning of this before the first critique came. Yes. Right, I agree, though. Yes, it could have put a bit more effort in, but I've just got to read what it says.
Okay.
The cast, now aware of the looming revelation, gathers in the library, eyes fixed on the silent night ornament, a key to the enigma haunting the manor. Detective Inspector Ben Harmer examines the ornament, determination etched on his face. The Silent Night ornament, once a symbol of peace, now a harbinger. By the way, am I saying the word harbinger right? Is that a thing?
Harbinger, I think.
Harbinger, is it?
Harbinger?
Harbinger?
Oh, now I'm questioning that as well.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think it's harbinger. Harbinger.
But, Trev, what's a harbinger?
It doesn't matter what
you see, you don't know, do you? But you'll pretend like you fucking know.
But it's like a carrier of it, isn't it? It's like it holds it, like something's a harbinger of doom. It's something that carries doom. So I'm imagining that this ornament is the carrier of buried truths.
Thank you. Right, take four. The Silent Night ornament, once a symbol of peace, now a harbinger of buried truths. In the dimly lit library, the killer steps forward, their mask of innocence shattered.
You... how could you?
Explain yourself. We demand the truth. Sorry, I actually gasped then. I'm so sorry. I couldn't help myself. I just read the next...
So carried away.
I couldn't believe it. Whoa!
Right. Now, let the audience catch up.
Sorry. My apologies. I'm stunned.
Oh, it was meant to be a reunion, a chance to rewrite our history, but the shadows proved too ominous to escape.
The confession sends ripples through the cast, each member grappling with the harsh reality. The victim, identified as Melissa Davis... Who the fuck's Melissa Davis?
Who knows? Who knows who Melissa Davis is? She obviously wasn't important enough to introduce. Just kill her off.
I mean, for a murder victim to be kind of interesting, it's probably better to establish their character backstory before they're offed. Never mind. The victim, identified as Melissa Davis, fell prey to the unresolved threads of their shared past.
Wimsey Manor was meant to be a sanctuary.
I'm reading this because it says emotionally.
Oh, yes, I was getting there, yeah.
Wimsey Manor. Wimsey Manor.
Are you all right, mate?
I'm so emotional. So emotionally charged that I cannot get the words out. Wimsey Manor was to be our sanctuary, yet the spectres of our past grew too loud to ignore.
So, the Silent Night ornament held a secret related to your shared history?
We?
It doesn't say we in the script.
It says nodding. This is fucking audio.
No ad-libbing.
I'm assuming by saying we, I can get across that I'm nodding and agreeing with her. Right.
We, a secret we sought buried, only to resurface in the shadows of this fateful night.
The cast grapples with this revelation, realizing the tragedy that has unfolded within the manor. The Silent Night ornament bore witness to a tale of redemption turned tragedy, its symbolism twisted by the threads of regret. As the truth settles, the manor breathes a sigh of sorrow, haunted by the echoes of untold stories. I forgot he was still here.
Yeah, Nicholas Clovis is still about.
Even amid celebration, shadows persist, but through their unveiling lies the potential of healing.
The manor, once echoing with festive cheer, now bears witness to the unravelling of a tale intricately woven with secrets. In a quiet corner, the remaining guests gather, seeking to understand the roots of the tragedy that befell Melissa Davis.
Like, who the fuck is she?
To unravel the present, we must delve into the shadows for their shared history. Melissa Davis and Jean-Pierre Leclerc, once kindred spirits, shared a past brimming with dreams and aspirations. The scenes unfold, revealing a friendship that gradually soured, tainted by envy and unspoken grievances. So, what drove them apart? The answer lies in the shadows of artistic pursuits and unfulfilled ambitions. Jean-Pierre, once celebrated for his ability to capture moments on his canvas, found himself overshadowed by Melissa's rise as a self-made entrepreneur.
The accolades that once fueled our bond became bitter reminders of my unperceived failures.
As the night at Wimsley Manor approached, Jean-Pierre, haunted by the ghosts of resentment, sought a reunion, hoping to rewrite their shared narrative. The manor chosen for its symbolic significance became the stage for a twisted tale of redemption and revenge.
Melissa's success taunted me, and in the shadows, the festering wounds of the past demanded closure. Perhaps one of my paintings.
It's not in the script. I'm getting it in. It's like the audience would be disappointed if the catchphrase wasn't said.
I agree. This has been all over the show. We're still quite finished. There's one line to go. It's me again in character. The threads of envy and regret woven into the fabric of their shared history led to this tragic unravelling.
There's a new Agatha Christie drama on the telly this Christmas. This ain't rivaling that, is it? I mean, honestly, what a disappointing Christmas murder tale that was.
Well, I mean, it did fulfil the brief. We had a victim eventually. We had a murder. All that shit about the ornament. Did you follow any of that?
No, I don't know what the ornament had to do with anything. Was that an ornament? I don't know. I don't even know what Nicholas Claus was doing there. What was that about? Why is Nicholas Claus turned up? He had nothing to do with anything.
How many guests did we end up having? Because the doorbell went a couple of times.
I don't know. Anyway, Melissa's dead. Jean-Pierre Leclerc, the murderer. Happy fucking Christmas. So there we are, that's it for the bumper Christmas edition of the Trev and Ben.
The Trev and Ben podcast. I do hope that you've enjoyed yourselves, boys and girls, and you've all been very good as you've been listening.
I just want to say, if you listen to the whole thing, well done. I mean, what commitment that is.
I mean, I was recording with you and I turned off halfway through. Anyway, before we go, some festive recommendations for you. These are just things like those things that over Christmas, particularly that sort of limbo bit between Christmas and New Year, where if you're not working, you can just lay on the sofa, eat the leftover turkey and watch some good old-fashioned Christmas cheesy shit.
Yeah, I'd like to kick off by saying I think my three recommendations for this year would be one recommendation for you. You should see Elf for the first time with Will Ferrell.
Yes. Yes, I must watch that, yes.
Everyone should rewatch Home Alone 1 and 2, and also everyone should watch Die Hard.
Die Hard, of course. Mine I'm going to throw out there, the Christmas Chronicle movies. There are two of those on Netflix. They are very, very good if you've never seen those.
Lovely.
Bad Santa. You ever watched Bad Santa?
I haven't seen it. Is that with... Who's the guy?
Billy Bob Thornton.
That's who I thought it was.
I don't know what Billy accent Bob. That was, by the way. I meant to go Billy Bob Thornton, but then I went a bit West Country. It sort of went Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, so I might give that a go.
Okay, and the other one I'm going to recommend, I think I saw this last Christmas for the first time. I don't know where you can see this. It might be on the BBC over Christmas. A Boy Called Christmas. It's an animated thing. Very good.
Nice. It's not a sad one, is it?
No, it's not. Well, it's touching. It's not sad, but it's touching. It's moving. Okay. And the other thing I'm going to throw out there, I haven't listened to this yet, but a friend of mine very excitedly sent me a text. I'm a big fan of the Beef and Dairy Network podcast, and I came to it a bit late, so I've been going through, and I'm only up to episode 74. They've just released episode 104, but wow. A friend texted me earlier and said, you must listen to this. Just go straight to it because it's their sort of Christmas edition. Very festive, very fun. So if that's your entry point for the podcast, go for it and then go back and listen from the start.
Lovely.
So there we are. That is it. Thank you very much for listening. Not just today, but throughout the whole year. We really do mean that. Thank you very, very much indeed for listening.
We really do.
on a regular basis. And we wish you all a very Merry Christmas. We will be back. We're taking a little break, but we'll be back on January the 10th will be the next edition of the Trev and Ben podcast. So till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye.